Hey everybody, this is Dave Siles, your co-host for Sales Burrito. This week we're supposed to have a special guest joining us. Unfortunately, if you haven't heard, there's a snowstorm that took out most of America. Luckily, we live in Florida, so we get to be audible ready. So today we're going to talk about how you can get from the basement to the boardroom and sell above the line here on this episode of Sales Burrito. Stay tuned.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's time! Welcome to Sales Burrito! The premier podcast for today's sales engineers working in technology sales, created by SEs for SEs. With your host, Enrique Barreto and Dave Siles.
You know, I've never shoveled snow or anything like that. I've always lived in Tampa, beautiful Tampa, Florida. So I have no idea what the rest of the country is going through. And I don't think I want to learn how to snow shovel or even use those scrapers for the ice or anything like that. So, I mean, Dave, I know that you were from up north, man. So do you miss it or not?
Negative. Yeah, no, I moved for a reason. And, you know, the fact that we've got colleagues and friends that are shoveling out snow in places like Houston, San Antonio, Atlanta is just shocking. And, you know, unfortunately, we had a special guest. He called me this morning and said, you know, I'd love to do it, but I don't have power. I'm almost out of heat and I'm out of beer. So, you know, it wasn't going to work for the night. So I told him we'll reschedule and completely understand and told him I'd send him warm thoughts. And, yeah, we'll have our special guest on next week, but show must go on. And, you know, we are here. And, you know, from that perspective, you know, we're always been good at audible ready selling. And, you know, one of the things that, you know, everybody needs to be able to do is be audible ready. And this past week, you know, we had our sales kickoff at the company I work for. And one of the trainings we did was with Skip Miller. For those of you who don't know Skip, Skip's a world recognized sales training leader, M3 Learnings. And we did his training on really kind of how to get above the line, right? And what that really means is stop selling to the people in the basement on features and benefits and start selling the upper value of your solution, the ROI, you know, the cost benefits to the business, and in getting the C-suite to buy into it. And we walked through, you know, some great training on that. And you know, if you haven't had a chance to read the book, I highly recommend it. We'll link that in the show notes from today. But, you know, gone through the training and you know, wanted to help share some of the knowledge there that I took away and, you know, that Enrique and I have, you know, kind of done in our careers and seen in action. And really, it's not rocket science, right? It's just changing your focus. Stop making it about you and start making it about the customer and, you know, helping them see through their lens or their eye. And if you can do that, you know, there are things that it'll help you flip the script a little bit and be more of a design partner versus a vendor selling into them. And then, you know, I think we'll have some good conversation around, you know, how you can knock on that C-suite door, get it to open as an SE, because it doesn't always have to be the account executive that's opening that door. And we've seen that in action and want to share some of that knowledge. So that's what we're going to take on today here in this episode.
No, you're absolutely right. I think that, you know, when you're dealing with, and I'm just talking now sales reps or accounts execs right now, I think that one of the stigmatas that we're always hear, particularly when a customer becomes a sales engineer, is that sometimes there's this stigmata of sales reps being too greasy or being too, hey, you're only here because you want to get a PO. And the last thing that I'm going to see is the taillights of your car or your Porsche as you're peeling off from the parking lot. I'm never going to see you again, right? It goes without saying, yes, the business of sales is for profit. Ultimately, as sales engineers, our goal is, yes, we are for profit. Yes, we carry quota, but we want to sell value. And by selling the value, we have to know how to sell, you know, what is called below the line and as well as above the line for sure, right? And I think that, Dave, one of the things that you share with me, which has resonated significantly, is typically on the words that you use to talk to the different audiences. So can you walk us a little bit through what you're finding? And I think that it's eye-opening to see it in a different format. I think a lot of people know it, but once you see it maybe accentuated in a different format, to me is revealing.
Yeah, absolutely. I think, you know, Skip had some really good examples, and you know, he broke it really down into kind of this concept of words that we use as vendors or as sellers versus what buyers use, right? And typically, if you look at a typical sales meeting, when customers are in the meeting and the seller is doing all the talking, we use a lot of our words, right? Things like pain point, discovery, you know, here's my proposal, you know, and those kind of things are obviously important to the sales process, but there are better words that you can use that put it in the light or the lens of the buyer. So for example, right, instead of saying, tell me what your pain points are, you know, you can ask them to, you know, educate me on what's not working for you, right? And then take that, map that into your solution. And obviously people always say, you know, okay, take what their pain points are, now demo it back to them. And obviously demo has got that natural connotation that, okay, I'm going to start talking a lot now, you be quiet and let me show you. Well, so you know, you may think of it as kind of this, right? You would typically say, Mary, I think the next good step would be for me to do a demo for you. When the better would be, you know, Mary, I think we should validate what we just discussed, right? And we can do that with a demonstration and see if that validates what you're thinking, right? Or validates your problem. And if they, you know, see it from that perspective, then they're thinking about it, okay, you heard what I said, understands my pain, and wants to validate or show me how they can solve what I need to, you know, essentially reduce my risk. And so that's all upside to the customer. And you can obviously take that as a one example, but there are other words that you can map into the conversation that goes along the same way. It doesn't always have to be, you know, in our lens of the world. And that was the real big flip for me. I mean, I think you always think about it and you want to be able to say that you're always relevating to the customer. But when you really take just the terminology, and all it is really thinking about, I want to substitute word A for word B, and I'm going to deliver the exact same message, but it just switches that whole connotation. As we went through the role play exercise, it was absolutely kind of mind opening to me. And I, you know, again, like you said, it should be so simple, but just like anything, you got to have repetition, right? And if you're not exercising it or testing it or trying it, you know, you get stuck in your ways. And that's one of the reasons why we all use those current words we currently use today. It's because we've always been sellers, or a lot of us have always been sellers. We're in the seller mindset. And, you know, that's the lexicon that we work with.
Well, and even on the way that you paraphrase the sentences, right? Like, first one was about, you know, hey, Tim, or hey, Bob, I think a good next step should be a demo, right? It's almost feel like you're pushing that individual to do that. Where if you add the component of we, hey, we should validate what I just said. Don't take my word for it. We can do this at a demonstration on Friday. And if you follow it after that saying, hey, this makes sense to me, what do you think, right? It gives the audience the ability to see, number one, yes, you're in sales, but you do care because you wanted to make it a we, you know, we is SE, prospect. And then at the same time, when you're flipping and saying, hey, let's do it at a different day, does that work for you? Or this makes sense to me, what do you think? You're giving that individual the ability to answer and be in control of the answer. If he's not in agreement of it, he's going to tell you, hey, I think it's too early to do this. And guess what? Continue to treat it as we. I think that, you know, unexperienced sales reps sometimes will try to flip, and, you know, maybe it's an enablement thing. Maybe it's something that we train our own sales teams within organizations, right? But it to your point, it should not be about you. If they come back and they say no, then come up with a different strategy. So it is a we thing that, okay, maybe we can do this at a later time, or maybe we can do this when we're ready to bring other members of your team, for sure.
Exactly. I mean, because you think about it, as your customer, nobody wants to be demoed too, right? I mean, they want to see your solution, obviously, but they want something out of it, right? And, you know, they want that sense of accomplishment, whether it's education on your product, you know, validation of their pain point. You know, they want to justify why they're thinking about buying you, that what you do is going to do. So they're not sitting through the demo in that perspective anymore. When you make that validation, or you know, you're giving them the opportunity to receive the presentation to make that decision, you know, it's becoming something that they're jointly doing with you. And again, it is that we concept, right? It's not my solution. It's not your solution. It's our solution. We did this together. And, you know, you, people have to really understand that, you know, communication is key, and, you know, just as much as the technical validation piece of it, and that's going to get you there. But, you know, the other reason to change the words is to, you know, change the perspective of getting upstream, right? And yeah, you know, the demo equation I just gave you aside, you know, discovery doesn't have to be the word discovery, right? It could be, you know, walk me through why you want to change what you're doing. You know, what caused this to come about, right? And get that to that perspective of helping them really take it out in their business context. And then when you get down to the selling side of it, you know, you're going to ask them, you know, how do you have to justify this? Who do you have to justify this to? What risk do you have to mitigate? What value do you have to show, right? All the things that we typically do, saying we're going to bring you in TCO, we're going to bring you the ROI, we're going to give you a proposal. You're still going to deliver all that. You're still going to go through the same motions. You're just doing it in a way that validates those questions that are done in their view of the world, right? Now, I'm not saying you're never not going to use, you know, a discovery word or, you know, say, here's your proposal, because obviously you're still going to say those, but you're just going to use those sparingly, right? You're going to use more of the buyer side of the equation. And really, that's going to give you the opportunity to kind of build the solution as a we solution or an our solution versus us versus them.
Well, to your point, right, it's about using those sell words or phrases that we over, you know, that we often use a lot because we're in sales, right? Like, you know, like something like a C-suite, for example, right? It doesn't mean that you never use the phrase C-suite. It doesn't mean that at all. It just means that before you are saying something to the prospect about the C-suite, whether it is, and typically when we're talking C-suite is to justify a cost, right? That we're showing that we're giving a way for us to actually help the prospect justify the need. I just had a conversation like this last week with one of my prospects out of Spain, where, you know, in typical scenarios, right? You have a proposal, and you on that proposal include professional services, training, and whatnot, and the customer, based on the business that I'm in, they found that the professional services were too high, particularly when they haven't figured out a way on how to monetize on my product. So what I did is I went to the customer. I basically said, look, we want to make you a customer. I want to have you as part of my consortium for executives to be able to talk about our platform and be able to give feedback to engineering. I want to give you a discount to as an early adopter, but what I need from you is let me help you, because my organization pays me for this, to sell the product to your CEO. And it's not about me doing this for you. Let me give you the tools and guide you on what has worked with the hundreds of customers that I've closed deals so that you're successful, right? So it's giving control to that prospect and reaffirming to the prospect that he's always in control.
Absolutely. I mean, I think that's one thing I took away from this is if you're especially a technical seller, you know, your job doesn't stop once the technical win is over, right? You still, as an account team, have to get the above the line sale. You have to get the decision makers to be able to buy into it too. And if you use these probing questions right, you're going to get to that above the line persona much faster, right? And if you can do that earlier in your sales cycle, you're going to know what triggers you have to hit beyond the, you know, features of functionality and the benefits that the business needs to be able to make that transaction happen. And that's just going to accelerate the deal cycle, right? You're going to discover the value. You're going to get the killer value props up front. You're going to create momentum, and you're going to accelerate the close. And, you know, I think that's the real key. And as technical sales engineers, you know, we have sales in our title. Doesn't always have to fall on the AE. I mean, you know, well, we have some SEs that we've worked with in the past, you know, a few of them that are just phenomenal at this. And, you know, they do it, doing it with second nature. It's not that they're trying to go around their technical champion. They're using their technical champion, though, as the key to open the door to the C-suite, because they understand that the technical champion is only one half of the deal. And so if they can
get
upstairs, you know, and they do it extremely quick, earlier in the process, I should say. Sometimes it's not quick, but if you can get there early as possible in the process, and you got both sets of buyers, the technical and the financial side together, you know, and you have a product fit and then, you know, a benefit that makes ID to the business, and you can eliminate those budget direct, you know, objections up front, you know, you're going to have a, you're going to have a good opportunity to win that deal.
You know, where I've seen good examples of that is, you know, great sales engineers, and I'm not even talking good. We're talking above the line of what we see the nirvana of a sales engineer, great sales engineers. You know, in a typical proof of concept or a proof of value, they'll tell that technical champion, right? And he may be, that prospect may be, you know, hey, he's super technical, right? He doesn't have any type of control on the budget, right? Through that POC process, they're setting up a cadence, right? Hey, today we're going to do this. And then as the prospects start seeing the light, and obviously we're bullish that we're going to win the POC and win the deal, somewhere around there, you insert their manager, or you insert the manager's manager, right? Say, hey, man, before the end of the day closes, I would love to actually have you in a meeting with you and your manager just to kind of delineate what we did, right? And then the reason why we need to do this is to make sure that I'm educating, that we were able to fix the problems that you told us, right? And ultimately show forward movement. And the conversation between that lower level individual or below the line to the above the line, it's different, but it's the same. And in an essence, you're almost teaching indirectly the below the line folks how to talk above the line. So it's a learning opportunity in multiple cases. And if done correctly, I've seen it where it closes the deal without even having an A involved and make on getting the approval on saying, hey, this, you know, the technical win or the win for that matter on the business justification to close the deal.
Yeah, absolutely. So something to think about. I think, you know, it's I would encourage the audience to give it a shot. Yeah. The name of the book again is Selling Above the Line, Selling Above and Below the Line by Skip Miller. I think it was originally published in like 2015, 2016. Again, we'll link it in the show notes. I know it's available on Kindle because I already pulled down a copy there and I've got it kind of on the iPad just there. And it's a great read, you know, and it's one of his many books that he's published, but eye-opening and I think just an interesting view to take on the world. But, you know, changing topics here just a little bit, I can't help but, you know, be attracted to that shirt.
I'll tell you what's eye-opening. Is the shirt that I have on, which is the first ever Sales Burrito shirt. Look at this merchandise. Listen, we got to start somewhere. So I got to say that, hey, I'm not going to take props for this design. This is Dave Siles' design. The minute I saw it, it was like, buy, let's buy. So Dave, I don't know how you're planning to give some of these shirts for free, if it is by number of clicks on YouTube, by whatever, but I mean, listen, I'll put some money in. I'll put money in for actually giving some of these, let's say, early adopter Sales Burrito shirts.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, so if you'd like, share, follow us on YouTube. We're going to pull out some winners from there. We'll get the shirt size from you, either direct message, and we will get you obviously there. We're also going to pull a winner from our newsletter. So if you hit salesburrito.com and sign up, when you get the pop-up, just get on the newsletter and we'll be able to pull a couple winners from there and send them out. And then obviously, if you want your own limited edition run, the store will open on Saturday and you can go to shop.salesburrito.com and get your merch there. Hoodies, yeah. T-shirts, hats, and this is just the first edition of it. So we'll have some other merch dropping, but all proceeds go back into the podcast. We are investing everything we make here, bring more great content, more great audience contribution. And then, you know, we're expanding our medium. And so, you know, not only are we on YouTube, but we're also now in simulcasting into Clubhouse on the Clubhouse platform. If you're not on Clubhouse yet and you want to get in, you know, hit us up on our socials. We've had some invites. We'll be happy to extend one to you and get you in there, because it's one great way for us to bring our audience in live to the show. We test drove it in a trial episode. It worked out great, so we're going to launch it into the live show. Other than that, you know, if you want to engage with us further, yeah, feel free to hit us up on our website or hit us up on our Anchor FM hosting page. We appreciate everybody's sponsorship and following the show. The audience is growing extremely fast, and we can't be more proud of not only the dedication that we have to our repeat listeners, but to the people who are sharing the word. Word of mouth is the best, best kudos you can give us, and accolade we can appreciate. So if you like the show, pass it on, share, and subscribe. We drop these weekly on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and all the other major podcast platforms. You can always listen live on salesburrito.com. And then the YouTube show drops on Wednesdays as well. And that'll be at YouTube for our Sales Burrito channel. So until next week, we'll have our audience back with our live guests that hopefully will be unburied. And we're really looking forward to it because it's going to be a great episode. So until then.
Look. Do you want me to say it or you want to say it? Which one? I haven't said it in a long time.
I'll let you do it because I won't screw it up this week. Well, let's get a clean cut. Go
keep
for it.
Keep the chips and salsa going and the knowledge flowing. Have a great day.
We hope you enjoy the Sales Burrito Show. To subscribe to catch future episodes wherever you catch your favorite podcast. Follow us on Twitter, LinkedIn, and Facebook at Sales Burrito. Until next time, keep the chips and salsa going and the knowledge flowing.